afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Let's go to gold. Let's go to the market price. And it's going to be an interesting program today, so you folks better stay tuned. Gold today was up 270 in the aftermarket New York spot price, 1256.70. 1256.70. Silver is up 4 cents today at 1837. Platinum was up 3 at 963. Palladium also up 3 at 809. USDX up 0.05 at 100.56. Crude oil up 80 at 51.04. And just, you know, I guess I saw today that China now buys more oil from the U.S. than they do from OPEC. And I find that interesting. Here you have OPEC that is trying to cut back on their production to clean out the glut, but you still have a country that's buying, so maybe that wasn't the real reason. They're cutting, there isn't anything that makes sense in these markets anymore. So I just thought that was an interesting piece of news this morning.
I'm sure OPEC thinks the same thing. They're kind of on their last legs in any case.
Yep.
And that's just another nail in their coffin. If China's buying more oil from the United States than it is from OPEC, it's just another way of saying you guys are on the way out.
Yeah. And how's OPEC going to treat the U.S.?
Well, they're inconsequential.
Maybe we just won't sell that much oil in dollars anymore.
That's the problem with this.
Of course it is.
The problem, it isn't even a choice. OPEC is folding. There's the problem. And OPEC was central to giving value to the petrodollar. Right, Saudi Arabia was first, and OPEC followed. They agreed back in 1971 they'd sell their crude oil only for dollars, and that gave the fiat dollar an implied backing in crude oil. There was a demand for fiat dollars, and we avoided having the dollar destroyed, becoming just worthless, completely worthless back in the 1970s. But now, if OPEC is folding up, and it might be, then what is left to hold the dollar? Retain the dollar status as a petrocurrency. Maybe that's the premier petrocurrency. And point I'm getting to is the implication is that if OPEC goes down, I don't know what's going to... It doesn't seem to me that it does not bode well for the dollar. Seems like the fiat dollar is likely to follow suit unless they can come up with something, brilliant ploy.
Well, maybe we can get a great deal out of Friday's meeting between the administration and the Chinese president, and maybe they'll make some kind of deal that you continue to buy your oil from us, knowing this is happening, and hey, you know, we'll let you fluctuate your currency. We're not going to name you a state-sponsored manipulation country.
I'm thinking they could just give them all of Southern California, kind of like the Panama Canal. It could just turn the whole thing over, and the port down there in San Diego, just turned all over to China, and wait for it to slide into the sea.
Well,
what
whatever.
About that, Melody? Do you think that's a deal they might be contemplating?
Well, who knows, Al? But
probably not.
But again, you know, they're buying more oil, and you know that comes into play when it comes to a lot of the trading and discussions and so forth for future trade and currency manipulation. To get back to be serious, Al. So again, that was an interesting point. The Dow was down. Futures were down early this morning. They reversed them, so the Dow was up 39 points, 20,689. The NASDAQ was up 3 at 58.98. The S&P was up 1 at 23.60. And you know what? I'm happy that the markets are rising. What I'm unhappy about is that they're rising under no fundamentals to push them to higher limits. That's what drives me insane. Because it's all based on lies. It's all based on nothing that's real. Am I the only one in this world who wants something that's real, that wants reality, that wants a market that trades based
on fundamentals?
just on what's real and fundamentals. You know, and you can even
that's,
play
that's
with
an outdated philosophy, Melody.
Just one little market. Just one little market. Just one teeny weeny little market. 10-year yield shows it's unchanged, 2.35% on the 10-year yield. The euro is 107, down a little bit. Fear and greed index is still showing a little below neutral. Well, it's showing neutral at 46. And, it just gets so frustrating. And, you know, Trump promises to help bankers, petrified of regulators. And it's like, you know what? The last thing I really want is to help bankers.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I want. And, you know, the bankers always gets us into the problems that have secured or problems that will go on forever. I don't want to help the bankers. The bankers are doing just fine. Why help them? What, so they can give loans to little businesses so they can hire people? You know, I mean, it's just so... It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And I get with the regulation. You know, you have these big multinational corporations complaining about regulations. It's just not the little guy. The little guy does what he needs to do. I mean, you got to file your taxes. You got to do this. You got to you do that. You know, it's the big guys that are complaining about all the regulations because they have to follow with the people they hire, the, you know, the healthcare they have to provide, the, you know, if they work so many hours and so forth and whatnot. So, you know, the little guys, and I guess you'd have to divvy up what a small company is, middle-sized company, a large company is, but still, it's...
The large ones are the ones that have high credit ratings.
Is that
little ones they don't have, they don't get much in the line of credit. And that allows the large companies to actually function as if they're monopolies. It allows them to collude, to even reduce prices, which is contrary to their best interest, but they can survive price reductions, deflation. They can survive it if they have adequate credit, where smaller competitors, they may not have access to credit to get them over a period of low prices and low profits. So, the world is not it's really not a fun place. It seems that way on situation comedies on TV and the rest of it. And if we watch enough of it, I suppose we can come to believe that's the way the world really is, but it's not. It's a dog eat dog kind of situation much of the time, especially as you get bigger and wealthier and more powerful, it becomes increasingly competitive and even violent. So,
but you know what, Al? It's just like it's just like nobody seems to really care. No one really, you know, because you know, I got an article here about, you know, jobs, and so and we'll talk about it a little bit, maybe going into. I don't know if you want to, you know, go into that now, but
let's go into it now.
I don't know.
We can.
Do I want to?
I don't know. Well, I can't read your mind, Melody. I don't have my tinfoil hat on.
Well,
and you know how that when I don't have the tinfoil hat on to protect me from the rays from the CIA and the NSA and
well,
so
I have
on.
I have a roll of aluminum foil. I'll sell
well,
you.
Well, send it out to
I'll
her.
Sell
send
you for $100. Mm. That's worth it against those rays.
I don't need. Now the rays aren't that bad.
Oh, okay.
They're a little annoying. They're a little troubling at times, but they're not. They're not worth $100.
Well, this article is about what Americans want more than just money for their work. I kind of disagree with that, but and you know they did respond to promises of jobs more than Hillary's promises of benefits. But this article is about because in addition to money, people also need dignity, a sense of self-reliance, and respect within their community. And for centuries, jobs have provided all of these. This is what this article goes on. And they say, despite the low unemployment rate, fewer Americans have jobs than in past years. And we've known that. We've talked about it. We tell you people this all the time. You know, the economy is not as good as what they're telling us it is. And this new class of non-workers may be able to survive on the government dole, the charity of friends and family of via black market activities, but they've probably lost some of the dignity and respect that used to come with working for a living. Falling employment has been linked to declining marriage rates, reduced happiness, opiate abuse. Some economists even blame disappearing jobs for the recent rise in mortality rates afflicting white Americans. And what's more, the longer people stay out of the labor force, the more trouble they will have getting back into it. They lose work ethic. They lose skills. They lose communication skills, connections. Employers become suspicious of the large gaps in the resumes. Economists Brad DeLong and Larry Summers have shown that the so-called labor market have potentially large, long-lasting negative effects on the economy. And, I mean, we are seeing that, Al. And,
well, you know, we keep hearing this. Part of the problem we have is people are lying to us. And they are at least exaggerating, which is a form of lie, and hyping, which is a form of lie, and rest of that sort of thing. And they're telling us that we are in a state of recovery. There are other people who tell us that the real unemployment rate could be over 20%, which means we're not in a state of recovery. We're in a state of depression. I mentioned this a number of times because I've mentioned this on the program before because it always fascinates me that during the Great Depression, there was not a general consensus that we were even in a depression until 1933. In retrospect, we look back and we say, well, the Great Depression started with a market crash in 1929. Well, in retrospect, that may seem clear to us, but the truth is the people that were there at the time had the market crash, and life continued, and we keep moving along, and they did not generally agree. There was not a majority agreement that we were in a depression until 4 years later. And the point being, we could be in a depression right now. The implication is we could be in a depression right now, and most people not know it. So when I look at things, John Williams, last time I saw his work, he calculated that if we calculated the unemployment rate the same way they did 15, 20 years ago, our unemployment rate would be in the neighborhood of 20%. Not 4% or 5%, which is what the government wants us. That's the happy days. Happy days unemployment rate.
Just like inflation at 2%.
No, I understand. Yeah, okay. I understand. We are being misled and misled and misled. And maybe things, maybe it works. I mean, to some extent, it does. People think we're doing okay, so we are kind of doing okay.
It's all based on
this is what you were talking about earlier. You wished the markets reflected fundamentals rather than just a peculiar sentiment.
You know, I'm just so tired of the lies. And I mean, I even get it here, even within my own industry. There's so many lies that are going on. It's just like I sit here puzzled. And I'm puzzled that the people fall and believe for all the lies that are being pushed around. And it all for the sake of a dollar. All for the sake of making a trade. People tell me all the time, well, you guys just say the same thing over and over again. Well, it's because it's the truth. If you want me to make something up. To make it more exciting, to make it more listenable, to make it, different. Al, can we make stuff up?
Well, we could hire Obama. He's not employed right now. He's good at making things up.
Oh, yes, he is.
Well, he's not openly employed. He may have work he's getting paid for, but it's not something he's going to declare on his income tax. He might be looking for a job opportunity. He knows how to spin the truth.
But I mean, and it's frustrating. And sometimes there's just a day where you hear one too many things that just kind of say, people, listen to the truth. Don't get conned. Because that's what these folks are. They got great lines, great stories. And it just baffles me. If they want to sell their product based on the truth, based on the reality, based on, the fundamentals, hey, go for it. Go for it. If you believe that's what you need to be, but it isn't. And it just, they tell part of the truth, but then they weave it, it just is so.
Well, you know what this may be part of?
What, Al?
Well, the contrarian theory for investing, where you buy low and you sell high, which everyone understands. Anybody who does any investing, that's obvious. Yeah, of course. We buy low when we buy a product when it costs $100, and we sell it when it sells for $300, and we make a $200 profit. We all want to buy low and sell high. But the problem with that is that when the product is low, when you're looking for, it's got to be fundamentally solid in any case, but you're looking for a product that is fundamentally solid and yet it has an unreasonably low price. That's what you're looking to buy. When that happens, you will run into the problem we all have, is that we tend to be herd creatures, and we want to do what other people are doing. And when the product is low, as in Baron Rothschild, he said at one point in the 1800s, he said, you buy when the blood is running in the streets. That's when you buy the real estate. That's when you buy the land. That's the businesses, whatever. When everything looks absolutely hopeless, that's the time to buy. All right? Prices will be at maximum lows. That's the time to buy. Likewise, and you'll sell high, and that's when things are super good, and everybody is saying, buy the product, buy the product, buy the product. That's the time to sell. When they're saying, sell the product, so good, you got to be crazy to buy this. That's the time to buy. That corresponds, and the problem with the contrarian investment theory is everybody knows you want to do buy low and sell high, but when you buy low,
but they're not even telling
you. You're working against public sentiment. Your majority sentiment says you're crazy, and it's hard to go against that. It's hard to be objective. But what I'm trying to get to is this: when you see the lies that you're talking about and the hyperbole and the exaggerations, it may be evidence that we are at that sell high moment before all of a sudden a lot of prices begin to fall down. Sell high, all right? That's when everybody is saying, buy, 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 buy. It's going to get better and better and better. We're going to see a $30,000 Dow and maybe a $50,000 Dow, and it'll be just next month. That is the time when people, it's not just when they're screaming, buy, 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 all right? That's not the only set, that's not the only indicator that prices are perhaps at a peak. It's also when they become irrational. And they start embracing the lies, that may be part of the signal for contrarians to say, okay, time to bail. And I'm talking about the stock market.
Maybe, but mainly what they're doing is churning accounts. With every trade that's put on the books, a commission is earned.
Yeah, so I get that, but here's the thing. You can't con an honest man. The lies work. Not on a regular basis. On a regular basis. I accept that idea. I know you can fool people and you can deceive people, but the lies that prevail on a regular basis are not simply prevailing because we have a particularly skillful group of con artists selling stock. They're prevailing because we have a greedy bunch of buyers out there that are willing to listen to any fabulous story they can hear. They say, oh, the Dow is going to 30,000.
Well, we become a greedy nation.
We become complicit in our own ruin if we don't pay attention to fundamentals. Let's take a break, a couple commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Sam Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I had an inquiry today. Not even an inquiry, just a discussion on Mexico's 1 ounce gold Libertads. It's like, why would anybody want to buy those? In the 24 or 5 years I've been in business... Mexican, and there are pretty coins, you know, but we always used to joke about it when I first got into the business was, you know, why would anybody want to, the people in the business didn't sell Mexican coins because of the corruption of the government. And I hear the same, well, the U.S. is corrupt too. Well, you know, not quite the same. And so it was always a big joke and, you know, so forth. And we just never sold. Unless you lived on the southern border, there just wasn't a desire. Now, they do have a limited mintage, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a collectible coin just because they have a limited mintage. They're rarely seen in North America. Well, why do you think they're rarely seen in North America? Because no one owns them. Nobody wants them. And, you know, you do pay a premium for it. So I don't understand when we talk about getting value. I mean, have we lost so much of our purchasing power that value just doesn't mean anything anymore? You're either trying to save a penny, and in the long run, you'll lose a lot more than saving that penny, or you're just trying to get something because someone is telling you to get it because it's a great deal. And even though you pay more for your gold, your whole idea, you should be getting as much gold as possible for your dollars. So, you know, it's, you know, the pretty coins, but instead of paying $1,400 plus for them, why wouldn't you just get an American Gold Eagle? Or have they just become boring to purchase?
Well, that's a good thing. Boring is good. And why, and the reason I say that is because if the coin is perceived to be unremarkable, well, then it's going to be easy to move that coin later on. You take a foreign coin from a, you take a coin from a foreign country, and most people aren't going to be familiar with that coin a year from now, 5 years from now. The dealers will, yeah, they'll be familiar with it. But in terms of using that coin out on the street, if it came to that, people are going to, would they rather take a gold eagle minted in the United States, or would they rather take a coin that apparently is minted in Mexico that they've probably never heard of before? And the answer is they'd rather take the gold eagle. The gold eagle is boring because it is well accepted.
I can understand where people want something different. I mean, if you're a true investor, you don't care whether you have, you know, 4,000 different bullion coins, because basically all you're going to have is 4,000 bullion coins. Now, if you want to have a collection, I'll help you with a nice little collection, you know, where you can get some great coins for low values, rare coins, special coins. You know, we got a whole market for that, and they do very well. You know, they've done very well with the high stock market prices. They've only begun to weaken a little bit, but for the past couple of years, when gold has been hit so hard, your rare coins have done exceedingly well. You know, because of the mindset, these are the coins that rich people get. Rich people have collections. You know, they might have some bullion and bars and coins and so forth, but they buy artwork. You know, when you have artwork that was selling for, you know, the highest dollars ever, you know, a year ago, well, what do you think they were buying in gold? They were buying collectible coins. So there is a place for collection coins, but don't buy a bullion coin just because there's a limited mintage and think you have a collector coin. You don't. You get what you pay for.
At most.
So again,
at most. you might not get what you pay for, but that's the most you can expect is to get what you pay for. And you might not even get that much, but you're not going to get more than you pay for, at least not in most markets.
I hear, you know, I hear these reports. Well, they're not buying coins and stuff, but people are buying bars. Really? Who's talking about bars?
You're not going to have one bars of gold, Melody.
Yes,
you're talking about
gold bars.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get one sector of the gold market, you know, to indicate demand. You might get a sector in a particular ETFs. We've seen a big run into ETFs lately. They've pulled back some. The COMEX, I'm sure that's what I'm sure that's where it was being related to, was maybe the COMEX, you know, the buying in the COMEX, the futures and the options. Folks, you don't own gold. You own paper. And I'll guarantee you the majority of people who own that paper will never take physical delivery of that product. So,
I guarantee you the majority of the people who don't take physical delivery of the product will be kicking themselves in the butt.
Well, they'll kick themselves in the butt because they didn't take their money and buy physical gold instead of just playing in the market and playing in the paper market and hoping to get, you know, more than, you know,
and
most options player, most options, your percentage. Currency trading is the worst. I mean, you know, there's only about 5% of currency traders that really make any money. You know, options aren't as
Forex?
Yeah, currency trading.
Foreign exchange.
But your options, and I played the option market. I did very well. The timing was perfect. I did very well. And someone said to me, well, you know what, Melody? We could be making a fortune. And if the system collapses, our fortune might be tied up in litigation for years. I sold my contracts and never played again because I believe that. And is it going to happen tomorrow? Probably not. But is it going to happen in the future? Yeah, I do believe that. Your brokers aren't going to have the money to pay you. But a lot of you, some of you will do well and you know, so forth. You can't say 100%.
Most will not.
Most will not. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, that's what's so frustrating is these comments. And lots of times these comments from various radio programs and commentators and analysts, it's like, what? You gotta be kidding me. And that's why I always encourage folks, hey, you hear something, bring it to me. I'll tell you the truth. Whether you believe me or not, that's up to you. But I'll tell you the truth. And I like to share that with the listeners. Because if you heard it, then there's a lot of others that heard it and might take the plunge in something that maybe they shouldn't. But taking the plunge in something, Dallas Mayor on savings police pensions, this is a poison pill. Your area, Al.
Yep.
Mayor Mike Rawlings said Sunday that he won't support legislation meant to save the failing Dallas police and fire pension system. Rawlings plans to testify about his opposition to the Long in the Work bill on Monday in Austin during a House Pensions Committee hearing. The mayor told Committee Chair Dan Flynn on Sunday that a key provision which binds the city to minimum payments into the pension system is unpalatable. He says this is a poison pill that, as inserted, would damage the city of Dallas and its services for decades to come.
Yeah.
And they had... Flynn and his staff had played broker in the dispute for months, and all sides had believed that the state representative would eventually come up with a deal that they could tolerate, but Flynn talked tough about the mayor on Sunday, and through a spokesman, Flynn said in a statement that he is deeply disappointed and hopes the mayor thinks better of his opposition. So they're still fighting down there for that.
Of course, they're still fighting. The police department and the fire department and probably the schools, I'm not sure how many special interests are involved here, but they want their pensions. And they are not going to roll over and say, well, forget, you know, we'll agree not to take them. They're not going to consent to the kinds of restructuring, which is a word they use to mean default, mm-hmm. but the restructuring is will the other party, the Will the creditor agree? Will you consent to a low being paid a lower price? Then it's a restructuring, but it's really just a default. They aren't going to agree to that. They're going to fight for it. They're going to just strike for it. And hard to say what's going to happen here altogether, but it's not going to. The problem we've got is people accepted, people in the fire department, the police department, the bureaucrat, the people who work in the bureaucracy here in Dallas, whatever, they have accepted pension promises from government elected officials, our local elected officials. Oh, we promise to make you, you're going to live large when you retire. Come work with us. And we're not going to pay you so much right now, but you're going to do really well when you retire. You know, they should have, and it's easy to say this, none of us want to do it, but we want to believe that we can get the same pension that's that the government promises or whoever promises. We want to believe that. We think, oh my God, I'm going to be doing great. All I have to do is work 20 years and I'm going to be doing fabulous. You got to look at it and say, look, how much of that pension did you earn? It's not enough. You don't earn it by conning, by supporting some politician who promises to give you something for nothing. That is not earning. All right? That's a kind of conspiracy. That's a kind of theft from taxpayers. And that's where we are right now. We're in a situation where in order for the police to get what they want and the fire department to get what they want, what they expect, and maybe what they were promised, they have to rob the public. And the police and the fire department say, well, yeah, so what? That's what everybody in politics does. That's what government does. Why not us? We're connected. We're made men. We're part of the racket. Why don't we get to rob the public? And the problem is there's more of the public than there is the firemen and the police department. And we are now at a point where, and the public is broke, right? They don't have, they are in the midst of a recession even now. And
they want your money, folks. There's an initiative where employers, they don't want you to raid your 401. Isn't that your money? They don't want you to have it. They want you to take counseling.
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 Because you must be crazy. You must be crazy if you want your money.
It could be anywhere from a company-funded consultation with a financial counselor to a required number of days between paying off one 401k loan and initiating the next one. I have lots of clients who borrow against their 401s to buy gold. But now there's these initiatives, and they vary. And this is according to the Wall Street Journal. Employees have done a lot to encourage people to save plans, the 401 plans, such as automatically enrolling them. It's so convenient, isn't it? But there is a growing recognition that if the money isn't staying in the system, the objective of helping employees reach their retirement goals isn't being met. Well, isn't that nice? They have that big concern for you. Economists at Boston's College Center for Retirement Research suggest leakage, or the borrowing of retirement funds early, poses a threat to wealth across all U.S. retirement accounts.
Yeah, leakage, who's wealth?
Yeah, exactly. Leakage occurs in three different ways: withdrawals for hardships, cashing out when a person leaves a job, and through loans, according to these economists. Movement Mortgage, a mortgage lender in Fort Mill, South Carolina, and Home Depot are two examples of employers that have recently targeted this issue in several ways. Movement Mortgage now requires employees who start a 401k loan to meet with a financial counselor before they do so, while Home Depot requires employees to wait at least 90 days between paying off one 401k loan and initiating another. It's all about control. It's all about keeping your money in the stock market. And when they have these types of, and these are just two different types of initiatives that they're talking about in this article, but what happens when you're having a stock market that's dropping 50, 60, and 70% and you want your money? Good luck.
Well, they don't want to give it to you, in part because are you still referring to the article? The article you're referring to, is it still about Dallas, Texas?
No, this was a different one, but two different companies.
Same thing.
Two different companies in the range. Well, of course, yeah.
They don't. One of the problems they have with their fund, their retirement fund, is that there was an option for government employees to pull their money out. They had a great deal for a while, just a fabulous deal, really. And but if things started to go south, they could pull their money out of the fund, and that's exactly what the fire department and or the police department has done in big chunks. And the result is a fund that used to have a lot of money now doesn't have much, and it creates more stress. They are less able to deal with current demands for retirement because they have less money available, less cash in their accounts, and because people were allowed to make withdrawals. And so they're trying to stop that.
Absolutely. But it's also because of their bad investment decisions too. I mean, buying what? Islands in the Caribbean someplace and buying all kinds of stuff, you know, so they could enjoy it because they have to check out their investments, what, on a quarterly basis or twice a year or something like that. I mean, Dallas had some bad investment decisions, and then on top of people pulling out their money, they couldn't keep up financing their bad investment decisions.
I've got an article here from MarketWatch that's talking about this to some degree, and the headline says, "Underfunded pensions are a disaster waiting to happen." While most corporate employers shifted from pension plans to 401ks after the latter's creation in the early 1980s, governments still offer pensions to many employees. And those pensions have left retirees and taxpayers in a bind that has fueled political battles while continuing to enrich investment consultants and managers. Too optimistic estimates of market return, which determine how much governments must pay to fund the balance, have left many plans massively underfunded, even as the advisors who managed them received huge fees. What's left? A disaster waiting to happen. The money to pay future retirement benefits to government workers such as firefighters, policemen, and teachers comes from two sources: contributions made by government to the funds, and that is to say the taxpayers, and investment growth. The more the fund's investments grow, the less money taxpayers have to contribute. To ensure that there will be enough money to pay retirees' benefits later, money must be contributed now. How much depends on future investment returns. Thus, the assumed future rate of return on investment is very important. The higher the assumption, the less taxpayers must contribute. In developed countries, they assume a conservative return similar to what you'd get on a government bond, and their pension plans are well-funded. But in the United States, the assumption is not all that conservative. U.S. funds assume the average rate of return is 7.6%. Low-risk government bond would be about 2.5%. Thus, their 7.6% assumed return is about three times as high as the conservative return. We'll talk more about this when we return from a couple of commercials, and we'll just a little more on what's happening to the pensions and why they're in so much trouble, and it has to do with just foolishness. Please stay tuned. Melody and I will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're talking about an article from MarketWatch entitled Underfunded Pensions Are a Disaster Waiting to Happen, and pointing out, the article points out that most developed countries, including the United Kingdom, Canada, the Netherlands, Sweden, and France, assume a conservative return on pension fund investments. This conservative return is similar to that you could get off government bonds. Their pension funds are therefore very well funded, all right, because they have to put the money in now to fund the pensions, all right, rather than rely on presumptions that we're going to make a fabulous return on the dollar or the franc or the euro or whatever they're using 10 years, 20 years from now. The investments are just going to work out great. In the U.S., however, the assumption is not all that conservative. U.S. funds assume an average return of 7.6%. If they were to assume the return on a low-risk U.S. government bond, it would only be about 2.5%. They would be calculating, all right, we've got this much money in the pension fund. What kind of return can we get on our investments? And they, if they they did it conservatively, they'd say about 2.5% to 3%, according to this article. Now, the 7.6% assumed average assumed return, and that's what they're operating now, it's about three times as high as the conservative return of 2.5%. And you can see right there we've got a difference, we've got a problem here. And they go on the article to say that is why a study performed by the Pension Task Force of the Actuarial Standards Board led to the conclusion that U.S. government pensions are underfunded by $5 trillion. All right. That's a third of our gross domestic product, annual gross domestic product. That's why the Pension Task Force recommended that pension funds switch to using a market rate of return, which would be, for guaranteed future benefits, the much lower rate of return on an annuity or government bond. Political resistance to making this change is very strong. It would mean that governments, in other words, the taxpayers, would have to contribute up to three times as much as they do right as they already do right now. The politicians don't want to straighten out these pension funds because they can't do it without upping the rate that taxpayers who are not part of government have to kick in to government pension funds. Right? And the taxpayers aren't going to stand for it. They're not going to reelect the politicians. So the politicians aren't going to solve this problem. Consequently, the funds, these pension funds, continue to assume an unrealistically high return. They hire consultants and money managers who happily acquiesce, tacitly implying that they can achieve it. Trouble is, they can't. Then what we're talking about here is fraud. We've got people who are coming in and selling snake oil to the government employees, and they're saying, we can get you a fabulous return, and we can guarantee it, and we can at least promise it, and you're going to live happily ever after. But everybody who looks at this knows or should know that that's a lie. That means this is a fraudulent system, and it's not just a mistake. It's a criminal act perpetrated with the complicity of the U.S. Congress and your local mayors and city council. It's also evidence of how dangerous it is to assume that a promise on paper is the same as some sort of a payment. And we're going to learn that lesson. A lot of people, that lesson doesn't register in most people's minds just yet, the difference between a payment and a promise to pay. All of your pieces of paper that say you are entitled to $100,000, $1 million, whatever, those are not payments. Those are just promises to pay. I've said it a bunch of times. We live in a world where there's too many promises. They can't all be kept. I don't know that the promises you've accepted are the ones that are going to fail, but promises are going to fail, probably 80, 90% of them, in my estimation. But it's at least half, all right? If you're saving your wealth in a paper form, you are in jeopardy. Both the consultants and investment managers charge absurdly high fees. These fees come out of the pension fund's coffers and ultimately from taxpayers unless they default on the promises to retirees. And that's what's going to happen. The taxpayers are not, we are not, you're not going to get your children and your grandchildren, the new generations of taxpayers, they're not going to be willing to go broke just to keep grandma and grandpa in the style to which they've become accustomed. Grandma and grandpa were foolish. They trusted the government. They trusted these pension funds. They relied on someone else to take care of their future rather than depending on themselves and disciplining themselves to save on their own on their own behalf. Now they're going to pay for it because they say, oh, let the kids pay my bills. No, the kids got their own bills. There's no reason why they should be paying yours, especially given that grandma and grandpa have been, it's on their watch that this economy has gone down the tubes. What's left for the kids and the grandkids? What are they going to do for jobs? You know, there is a problem here. It says it's been known for a long time that hedge funds and private equity funds have performed terribly for their investors and that their fees, the managers and the consultant fees, are way too high. Yet pension funds continue to add their investments to these funds. All right? Pension funds fall for the trap. The reasons are plainly political. Lowering the assumed rate of return would result in an immediate requirement for taxpayers to pay as much as three times their current contribution to these pension funds, or for the promised benefits to be curtailed. We got two choices, either triple the taxes on that you pay relative to government pension plans, or renege default on the promise to pay the pension plan. In some states, you can't default without violating your state constitution. But you can't squeeze blood out of a stone either. People are broke in the midst of a recession. Guess what are you going to do? Are you going to jail the public because they don't want to pay the government employees' pension funds? The truth of the matter is, if you're concerned about your retirement, it's up to you to provide for it. It's not up to me to provide for your retirement. It's not up for President Trump or President Obama or anybody in Congress or the Senate. It's up to you to be responsible to provide for your own retirement. And if you don't want to take that personal responsibility, if you're concerned about it, you don't want to take that and be responsible and be disciplined and whatever, well, then, you know, just enjoy your life as best you can. But the day is coming when you're going to say, oh my God, what happened to my pension? What happened to my retirement? And what happened to it is people didn't listen. People trusted government, and especially politicians, to deliver something that can't be delivered. And this has probably been apparent since the beginning. Anybody could have looked at this and said, oh, this is crazy. This can't work. It's a Ponzi scheme. And I'm sure some people said it. But nobody wanted to pay any attention because we wanted to believe the happy story. We wanted to believe the lie. We all did. All of us are guilty of this to some degree. Certainly in my generation, we're all guilty to some degree. We wanted to believe the lie, and even if we didn't want to, we didn't object to it. Maybe I didn't fall for the lie, but, you know, I didn't raise Cain to object to the lie. So I'm complicit in this to some degree, but we all are, and most complicit are the government employees who thought they were going to get something for nothing, and they were going to live large. While the average American was skimping along on Social Security, these guys would have enough money to really have a pretty decent retirement. And they thought that was possible. They even thought it was fair. It's not just whether it's possible. Is it fair? Are you entitled to money that you did not earn? And the answer is no. You're not entitled to one nickel that you haven't personally earned.
I don't have a problem if there's some sort of retirement account with the company that you work for that you can invest in and possibly grow it and so forth and, you know, whatever. But you shouldn't be forced to participate. I don't, and I believe if you want your money out and it's your money, you should be able to do with it with what you want. And, I mean, those were some of the things that, you know, it's just like a lot of these investment plans and so forth, annuities and so forth, and hey, they got you. I mean, it's very difficult if you want to take your funds out. They control it. You can't have it. And so, I mean, there's a way to set up your money so that you don't fall prey to, you know, having all your money in all these different accounts and you can't get to any of it. You know, I've seen that happen. Or the penalties. The penalties shouldn't be as high as what they are. You can have your money, but hey, you know, we just give us 10%. 15%, and then you can pay the taxes on it, and you know, all in all, it'll cost you about 30%. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much, you know. So,
but my complaint, I don't agree, I don't doubt, I don't disagree that people should be able to handle their own retirement however they want to do it.
Exactly.
I am saying they should handle it however mm-hmm. they want to do it, and if they mess up, they pay a price, and if they don't mess up, then they prosper and do well. What I'm saying is taxpayers who get no benefit out of that pension fund should not be obligated to fund it.
No.
That's what bothers me about it. We all want, why did they do it? Well, we'll give them, we'll promise these employees a fat retirement, all right, if they work relatively cheap right now. It's part of the way we get people to work for the government in the first place. We promise them you're going to get the payout at the end of your career, big time. You're going to get rich. Well, but we won't pay you too much right now. Well, that's just, look, if you were smart, if you were honest, you'd say, no, I want a job where I get paid a fair price for my labor right now.
Yeah, but if the employees knew that the government would raid their their pension plans, they probably would say, well,
why is that a surprise?
I don't think I want to get involved.
Why is that a surprise? I mean, they believe in civil asset forfeiture. The police believe in taking property from people on mere suspicion and keeping it for themselves. And you have to fight them to get your property back. The government engages in theft. I mean, what are most of our taxes? I don't know. I mean, there's an argument that you can argue that most of the tax money we pay is a kind of theft in that it goes for things that are stupid, wasteful. Government, the Defense Department has allegedly lost $10 trillion in the last 10 or 15 years. Come on. Nobody's going to be held accountable. Is that a loss or is it theft? You know, the government operates like a criminal enterprise in many regards. They don't want to admit that, and a lot of people don't want to say it, but it's fundamentally true, and we just laugh and we wink.
And everybody goes,
no big deal. We don't expect the government to be ethical. You wait. We are going to be screaming for ethical government before this is all over. And the ones who will be screaming loudest will be the retired government employees when they can't get their pension. They're going to say, wait a second. You can't rob us. We're connected. You can rob the taxpayers, but not us. We work for the government. No, you're going to rob you.
The government's just hoping that the old folks die away before it gets to that point. But
anyway,
I wanted to talk about two other things real quick before the end of the show. Tonight, there's the second debate in France of all the presidential rivals they're facing off tonight. It's the second televised debate. And, of course, Marine Le Pen. She's doing quite well over there, and the rivals are having to speak to the whole of France from the very beginning, and so you got two very different political outsiders. You have Marine Le Pen and Emmanuel Macron, and both their positions have strength and so forth, but I think she's either ahead of him or he's only ahead by a point, so that should be interesting. We'll see if the news reports anything on the debate tomorrow. And you know, if she gets elected, you're going to see a lot of stuff happening in Europe.
Well, it's like Brexit 2 if she does.
Oh, I think it'll be much worse than Brexit 2. And I mean, she already said, you know, yes, she'd pull out of the, but I think it has much. See, the Britain didn't use the currency.
Yep.
You know, they paid, but they didn't use the currency. They benefited from the trade and the open borders and so forth. So France is a little bit different. It's going to have a much major impact on the European Union, because I guarantee you, she gets in there and pulls out of the European Union, Greece is bye-bye. We'll see you later, guys. And who else will follow? So it will be the continued breakup of the European Union. So, and that can have some very interesting effects in the financial system worldwide. And there's something else that I wanted to make a comment on. One of the Federal Reserve presidents, Jeffrey Lacker of Richmond, he was the Federal Reserve president for 13 years, resigned abruptly, and he admitted he shared confidential information with a financial firm in the fall of 2012. Hello, this is 2017, and he did this in 2012. And, you know, so folks, why?
Got away with it.
He got away with it. Others
and the firm got away with it.
He didn't get away with it. And he certainly, there's no, he's just resigning. So when you resign, I don't know if you still get your pensions and everything else, but...
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I think what your resignation means, I've stolen enough, right? Then now it's time to fold up and go back to trying to become an honest businessman. It's what the mafia does and the rest of it. They reach a point where they've stolen enough and then they become legitimate businessmen. We may be watching the same thing with some government employees. We're going to have to let it go for now, folks, because we're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.